welcome to a really special edition of the Tragic Rugby League Report tonight. It's a full house. First time we've had four people on the pod for, God, I don't know how long, Rutkin, but it's good to see you. But obviously, welcome back to Mr. Sean Eberhardt. He's got his second first grade cap, so great to have you back, Sean.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And we're really happy to give someone else a debut tonight.
Anyone else?
Mr. Nicholas Henson, how's it going?
I'm good, Declan. Thank you for having me here. It's been a tough run coming through New South Wales Cup and at club level, but yeah, just happy to be here, really.
Yeah, we actually ditched Henson. He got thrown in the New South Wales Cup. Then we had an injury crisis, so we had to recall him back to first grade. So we're really happy to have you. So obviously for the viewers, this is the first time they've heard you. So do you want to just give a little bit of a backstory on, you know, who you support, why you love rugby league and all the good stuff?
So I love rugby league because when we moved to Australia, I didn't really know much about it. I'm a South African and we only support rugby union over there. I found out about rugby league from my school friends and got my first footy card from a pack of Smith's chips, and it was Darren Lockyer, holographic, still have the card. Uh-huh. And I said, "Who's this guy?" And my dad said, "Oh, he's a really good player. He's a really good player." So I said, "All right, I'll support his club." And then I did. I supported the Broncos, and not proud of it, but I supported Queensland too for a little while. First time I've said that publicly. And then just supported the Broncos ever since.
That's actually funny because your resume, it says up the milk, which I can only assume is a reference to the Canberra Raiders as a team you supported. What do you make of that?
Oh, mate, everyone lies on their resume a little bit. They just sort of embellish, you know. I'm glad I get the opportunity to show my real credentials here on the big stage.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you. So, I just thought, you know, obviously, Rutkin, we don't really have much to talk about, do we? Like, nothing's really happened this last week of rugby league, has it?
Not much at all. It was a very quiet week and there wasn't any big important games. Did you just dab, Declan?
I coughed into my house.
I thought that was a bit odd. No, we had the Queensland Derby on Sunday, and I was able to go to my second ever Titans Broncos match live, and it was fantastic. And the Titans won fair and square in a fantastic game. And there was a little bit of controversy to come out of it with what's that bloke's name? The good looking one, Reece Walsh.
Yep.
Getting in trouble. What are your thoughts on that, Declan? Do you think that he probably should have been charged?
I mean, I feel like with all the media going on about it, and they full on dissected it, you know, like, oh, did he say it to someone else? Like, he 100% said it to the ref. Let's just get that 100%. Clear. 100%. There's absolutely no way that he didn't say it to the ref. And then the second giveaway is that he said the lie that everyone says, that, oh, I said it to someone else, even though he was looking directly at the ref. So I don't understand why everyone's debating it so hard. I also don't understand why everyone thinks it's a huge issue either. Because people are calling, like, Reece Walsh a prima donna now. That's a bit of an overreaction for me. He swore at the ref. It's not good. Like, you should never do it. You know, junior rugby league, treat refs with respect. But, like, it's a heat-of-the-moment thing. I think a one-match suspension is pretty fair, to be honest. What do you reckon, Sean?
I agree. I think straight up, there's no question that he swore at the ref. I think regardless of anger, heat of the moment, anything, as you said, like, you're taught from juniors to never swear at refs. So I think a suspension had to be given. I think three, again, is probably a little bit hard, but I would have probably gone one or two, but he definitely deserved time on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think? It was worse because he tried lying. Like, does that make the... if he just said, yes, sorry, like, is there a chance it would have been a lower penalty? I don't know,
because he got sent straight to the judiciary, so he never got the option to... Actually, no, he did plead not guilty. So I don't know. Yeah, it's a good point. But I suppose, like, like in terms of judicial fairness, then, you know, he has a right to defend himself. And it's not like it's an actual court of law where you can, when you lie under oath, it's a criminal offence. So yeah, I don't really mind him lying, even though he did a really bad job. What do you reckon, Henson? What's your take on it as the resident Broncos fan?
I think it's a good lesson for him, because I think he is a bit of a hothead. He's only 20 years old, and he's obviously made a big splash this year coming on to, you know, he's had his breakout season. He's already won a State of Origin. They haven't even played the third game. He's been, other than Dylan Edwards, he's been the form fullback. And I think that can, for a young guy who's 20 years old, that's gone to his head a little bit and probably, yeah, just lost his temper. Again, I agree with you and Sean. I think 3 weeks is pretty harsh. But I read through the when they spoke to the judiciary about it, and the argument that Reece Walsh and Pat Carrigan made was so bad.
Oh yeah, that was terrible.
What was Reece Walsh's main argument, Henson?
His argument was that he was talking to Pat Carrigan because Pat Carrigan basically told him to pull his head in and slow his brain down. Like Pat Carrigan said, Reece, you're going for like big plays, slow your brain. I'm paraphrasing here, but slow your brain. And then Reece, you know, went on a line of expletives at Pat Carrigan, which like was just 100% aimed at the ref.
What did David Fina say? I thought that was pretty funny.
They spoke to David Fifita about it, because obviously he must have been right there. Like David was saying that he was trying to get under Reece Walsh's skin. And then he said, oh yeah, from where I was standing, it was 100% directed at the ref. Oh wait, sorry, I mean Pat Carrigan.
I'm so sorry, you guys intimidate me. You know the funniest thing? They picked, like, on the thumbnail of the article saying, like, David Fifita destroys Broncos two nights in a row or something, they picked the most awful, dumbass-looking photo of David Fifita to make him look like the biggest idiot. Like, he looks like Shrek in the picture. I'm like, oh, that's so mean. I do feel bad for him. Like, it would be a little bit nerve-wracking, particularly for someone that's maybe a little dim.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, so I think we all pretty much agree. I think, like, obviously he said it, the ref, and anyone who, like, doesn't think he did, I've got some timeshares to sell you in the Bahamas. So, but yeah.
Do you guys think that game mixed with Origin was a turning point in Reece Walsh's arc, and he is now potentially on the way to being perceived as a villain in the NRL?
Yeah, like, potentially, but I suppose, like, with the great players, like a lot of them are hated, like Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, like they were, you know, not like, I know they're retired now and you kind of see everything with like rose colored glasses, but you know what I mean, they did have that like little bit of dog about them sometimes, especially Slater, and I suppose like Cameron Smith as well. So I suppose, like, even if you are considered like kind of a dirty player, I don't necessarily think it takes away from the fact you're still a great player as well. I mean, Latrell does, you know, he has like, you know, one or two situations a season where, you know, he does some questionable things, but he's still a great player. I don't think anyone's going to deny that.
I think villain arc origin wise definitely is going to build, but for Clubland, and I'm not saying it's right, but I think people's general perception is towards the ref, we'll forget about it in a few weeks, and a bit later, like, people tend to remember what happens to their teams more so than what happens to the ref.
What did we all think of when he got sent in and he started like arcing up the crowd? Do we like it? Do we love it, Henson? What do you reckon?
I think if you were like a winning Queensland fan, you would have loved it, because it's just like, I don't know, it was just Origin biff. Queensland had won the game. It finally got heated. Everyone saw the fight that they wanted to see, and then it was just Gene. Like, I don't think there's, like, it's a bit cocky, but I don't think there's, I think if it was a if we'd won Origin and Jerome Luai was doing it, we'd be fully Team Luai.
Yeah, I agree. Rutkin?
I think I'm with Henson on that. I hated seeing it and it boiled my blood, but at the end of the day, you do want that. You want to have, I'm all for the entertainment of like hating players, hate and, you know, the rivalry of it. And yeah, it boiled my blood so much seeing it. And if it was a Blues, it was the opposite and it was the Blues, like a Blues player doing it, I would have liked it like completely. So I don't have a problem with it. I think that it's fine, but yeah, it's the onus is on New South Wales to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, definitely. So, because we've got a Titans fan and a Broncos fan on the pod tonight, I think we have to take this opportunity just to have a little bit of a wrestle. For those who might not be aware, Broncos Titans have a little bit of a big brother, little brother mentality when it comes to when they verse each other. So the both fan bases don't really like each other. And so, Rutkin, you're having an argument with Henson about how you thought that Broncos fans whinge a lot. I would like you to make your case, and then I would like Henson to reply, and then I will pick the winner of the debate.
So. Fantastic. All right, how long do I have? A minute or two?
You can go for as long as you want, bro.
Oh, well, in that case, Henson's just going to win me from sheer volume. Like, he's just going to absolutely outspray me. Look, I've been around Broncos fans before. In Sydney, they generally tend to be pretty fair weather, and they don't really care that much. But up in Brisbane, they can get pretty passionate. And after the game, everywhere I went in Brisbane, there was someone with a Broncos jersey on whinging about the calls in the game. And whilst most fans did concede that the Broncos didn't have a good game, I don't think I heard many people admit that the Titans outplayed the Broncos, which is what I do believe happened. The Broncos did get robbed of a try, and David Fifita did absolutely flop on the on an obstruction call that was, I think, I would have awarded that a try. But I also think that Ezra Mann got awarded for a try where there were like four hands underneath the ball. And I think it was close, but I don't think you could actually see the ball touch the ground. And I have no idea how that was awarded a try. Now, there were other moments in the game where, you know, Alifiana Camprera like kicked the ball and it ricocheted off of Reece Walsh, and then Titans were given a repeat set, which is controversial because we scored right after it. But it happened at the beginning of the game as well. The Broncos grubbed it into Sam Verrills and he didn't move. Then the ball ricocheted back. The only difference is the Broncos didn't score, so you don't hear about the controversy there. In terms of penalties and six agains, it was very even. I think, you know, we didn't have Tino either. He was a late scratch just before the game. And he's like, you know, our best player and captain. I think that we outplayed the Broncos in pretty much most aspects of the game. And I know one point that Henson has made, that the forward pass that was given towards the end that was called a forward pass, it was like a meter forward. And I don't think that the logic can be from the referees, oh, well, previous forward passes this week have been let go, so I'll let this one go. The anger there needs to be put towards the ones that were let go, because the forward pass rule does need to be upheld, because otherwise we will be straight up playing gridiron. So yeah, all in all, I think the Titans played better than the Broncos. We out muscled them, we out harded them, and we obviously had a point to prove with the whole Brooks sacking. Would we do it again in the future? I don't know. I'm sure the Broncos, if we were to play again, there's a good chance they would win. But I think that the game was straight up Titans outplaying the Broncos.
Henson, what's your response?
Well, I'll preface it by saying I agree with James that the Titans did turn up to the game a lot more ready to play than the Broncos. They turned up in key moments. A moment that stood out to me was Kieran Foran just making a one-on-one tackle on the wing on Selwyn Cobbo. You know, like, it moments like that are, you know, if he doesn't make that tackle, Selwyn Cobbo goes down the sideline and scores, you know. And then on the other side of the field, Selwyn Cobbo got burned by Alafiana Camperera. So when you compare the execution of key points in the game, yeah, the Titans definitely were the better side. The Broncos looked pretty lost in offense. It seems to happen once every couple of weeks where they think they can just rely on Adam Reynolds passing it to Ezra Mamm or Reece Walsh and them doing something crazy. In saying that, I do think the bunker's involvement probably leaned towards the Titans' favor. Ezra Mims' try, you know, while you could say the ball doesn't touch the ground, the on-field decision was a try, and there was no evidence to say that the tip of the ball got held up. David Fifita just took a swan dive. Everything he's touched this week turned to gold. he took a swan dive, and the bunker, you know, the bunker looked at that. I think that for all money should have been a try. Do I think the Broncos deserve to win? Probably not. Do I think that Broncos fans in general are any worse than another team's fans for complaining about the ref after they lose a game that they don't particularly feel like they should have lost? No. I think if you went to any club, you know, if you went to Souths or the Gold Coast, you know, God knows I've heard Gold Coast Titans fans complain about the ref. And they lose to a bottom eight side, they're gonna blame something. And I don't think Broncos fans are any different in that way.
All right, Sean, who is more unbearable, Titans or Broncos fans? Just to settle it.
In the group, in our friendship group, the Titans fans, but overall, 100% the Broncos fans.
All right, Sean settled it. We can now move on with our lives and just put.
Wait, did he settle it? I don't believe that was any clearer.
I have no closure.
Broncos fans are the worst fan base out of the two, I have to say.
Who? Oh. Sorry, just while we're all here, what fan base would you guys say typically aggravates you guys the most? Obviously, we grew up in the Parramatta district. And we grew up around Parramatta fans, so that would be the easy option. But if we're not to say Parramatta, what fan base would you say generally annoys you the most in the NRL?
I was going to say Parramatta, but then, yeah, you took it from me. I'll go with you, Henson, and I'll come back to mine. Let me think.
I would say probably the Roosters. Yeah, I don't know. It just pisses me off anytime I see someone wearing a Roosters jersey. And yeah, James Tedesco just pisses me off sometimes. So probably them.
Sean?
Yeah, I got to agree with Henson. Roosters fans love to cry wolf, like, you know, oh no, we've got an injury this week. Like, right, man, every team has an injury. Like, I don't know, just Roosters fans irk me a lot. But I have to also agree, Parramatta is definitely my most hated, but that one was gone, so I'll go with the Roosters.
Yeah, I don't really know that many Roosters fans, to be honest. I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, I know, like, maybe three, like, actual Roosters fans aren't just bandwagons because they won two comps in a row. What do you reckon, Rock? Oh, sorry, Sean.
That's just because all the Roosters fans are in hiding this year, Declan.
Yep, they're all in hiding. Absolutely nowhere to be found. What do you reckon, Rutkin, is your most annoying fan base?
If I'm not saying the Broncos or Para, I reckon it's got to be Bunnies fans. I think Rabbitohs supporters are so annoying, and they're like, look how good we are. Like, oh, it's so good. Oh, we're just amazing. It's very irritating. Zach.
Are you talking about Zach? Is this a call?
It's not even Zach, but just every fan that goes to the Rabbitohs, they're just like, oh, we're so good. It's just so annoying. It's like, oh, we're good again. I don't know. I find them the most infuriating, I think.
Well, it's pretty funny when we've done the tragics for, you know, 2.5 seasons now. It's always like me, oh, the Tigers are shit. Oh, like, you know, the Titans are shit. And Zach's like, well, we're pretty good still. Like, we're really...
Yeah.
It does wear off after a while. But yeah, I have to go. I know you've said it, but I have to go Parramatta fans. Honestly, I don't think it's even close, because not only are, like, the actual team itself has a few grubs in it, the admin has a few grubs, but Parramatta fans are genuinely delusional in terms of, like, what they expect from their team. Like, they honestly don't have a clue. And when you go to those Easter Monday games against the Tigers, they are just the worst. I'm going to say Parramatta for that one. So sorry that I broke the rules, but it just had to be said.
Now, Parra fans are annoying.
All right, so do we want to move on now to Des Hasler? He's back, the man.
Desi.
Yeah. So, Rotkin, since you're this is a very Titan-centric pod, I've just realized I wasn't planning
loving
on
it.
But yeah, well, what's your reaction to the whole Justin Holbrook, Dez Hasler situation?
Well, first of all, I was obviously as surprised as we all were. This wasn't brewing like most NRL firings and signings happen. And I do applaud the Titans for being able to keep this under wraps so that by the time it came out, it was pretty much all done and dusted. I made up my mind maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago that I thought we should part ways with Holbrook. I think whilst it's very clear that the man is like knows his offensive footy and knows how to do fantastic shape and encourage the team to play a really entertaining style of footy. We just no, I don't think there's been a team in NRL history as bad as giving up leads as the Titans have been this season. Like we've given up multiple 20-point leads. That never used to happen in the NRL at all. Like that would happen like once every 10 years back in the day. And the Titans have done it like seven times just this year. So it's clear. I think he's gotten us to a point, but I think we need someone else to take over. And I think Dez is that. Dez Hasler is that person that you get right at the end is like the finishing touches to try and harden up the team, and he'll give us a bit of steel. And because you watch Justin Holbrook in press conferences, they go, oh, what do you think of the defensive efforts today after we leaked 32 points and we won 32-36? He's like, oh, mate, I thought we were great. It's like, no, we weren't. You leaked 32 points in an NRL game. You can't say your defensive efforts were good. I think his standards were too low and I think he was too nice. And yeah, I'm excited to get Dez on board.
Henson, do you reckon that the mad scientist is the person that's going to lift the trophy for the Gold Coast Titans in their maiden premiership?
I agree with James in that he's definitely going to be a much harsher hand on the Titans. I think after the game, Justin Holbrook would tell them that, you know, they all did their best and that was okay. I think, yeah, Dez Hasler's going to make a few of them cry. But I think it'll in the long run it'll be for the best. I definitely think it'll be make them a top six or a top eight side. Defensively, he's a good coach. He was really good with Manly back in that really solid period. I don't really remember much of him at the Bulldogs, to be honest. I can't speak for his record there, but he's got good coaching credentials. So I with an offense like the Titans, I think it could be yeah, really potent mix.
So, Sean, what do you reckon about Hasler getting the appointment to the Titans? Based on how things have worked out at the other clubs he's been at, it's usually started really, really well, but then maybe petered off towards the end of Hasler's eras at the Manly, then the Bulldogs, and obviously Manly again. Do you reckon the same kind of thing will happen at the Titans? Because they do have a really good squad, which is probably one of the reasons why he probably took this gig over somewhere like the Knights, for example.
I think it's definitely something the Titans have to keep in mind is what has happened in the past. While I think he's an excellent coach and a good choice for what they're trying to do, something they really need to be mindful of is his habit of back-ending contracts. So that's something they're going to have to keep an eye on how the roster and how the team is still building for the future. I think something in the favour of the Titans right now over the Manly team of 08, 09, 10, the Bulldogs team, is they're actually all still very young players, a lot of the core. So he has time to build them into their prime as opposed to take them in their prime and sort of finish off their careers, I find, with a lot of the star players. A lot of them still have, you know, they're still only young 20. So there's a lot of room to work with there, I think, in terms of years. But long term, we'll have to see. I have hopes, but I think it'll be a good run with them.
Mm. So now we're on the Gold Coast Titans, I think it's probably a good transition to Ben Hunt. Obviously, a lot happening with him. So he requested a release to join the Broncos to play hooker, we're all speculating, for the rest of the season. Lots of speculation that he will sign with the Gold Coast Titans next year when he procures that release. But it looks like the Dragons are going to keep him at least till the end of the year. So I think the Broncos thing is in doubt. Rotkin, what do you reckon is going to happen with the whole Ben Hunt situation? Are you confident they'll be at the Titans, or do you reckon there's a little bit more to play out in this situation?
I'm not confident that it'll come to the Titans. It's rugby league and things can always change and nothing ever seems to go to script. And the most obvious thing never really seems to happen. I think it's interesting that he's going like, I'm happy to play out the rest of the season. And then I don't know, like if the Dragons would obviously be hoping to keep Ben Hunt. So if they've kept him this long and if they just sort of listen to what Ben Hunt's requests are more, I could imagine them coming to terms with each other and remaining and Hunt remains at the Dragons. So yeah, I have a feeling that he's probably going to just stay there, but if he came to the Titans, I think we would take him and get rid of almost any other half that we have. I think we would get replaced Tana Boyd in an instant, as we probably should. So yeah, I don't know how a Ben Hunt here and foreign combination would work, if that would be a halves pairing that would terrify the comp, because there is a lot of age there. I don't know. Do you think it would work?
Can I add, I think potentially with Dez coming across, obviously Dez has got that history with Kieran Foran, and I don't know how many years Foran has left. I don't think your halves right now are like, they're probably one of the less potent halves pairings in the comp. Just objectively. But I think rather than looking to get rid of Tana Boyd and keeping Kieran Foran, do you have Tana and Ben Hunt moving forward? Because Tana's got youth and a lot of development in him. You know, if Hunt comes across.
And also Jaden Campbell as well. Like, he could play six.
Yeah.
Ben Hunt could play seven. That's probably a good mixture of like experience, but then youth and like, you know, game breaking ability. Sorry.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Ben Hunt be around youth and game breaking ability for the last few years, and it hasn't really gone too far. I don't think you'd put Ben Hunt with Tana. Yeah, you got to put Hunt on the right side. And yeah, I think it would be him and Kieran for the most part. And they would both be mentoring players underneath them in Tom Weaver and Jaden Campbell and Tana. I'm pretty sure Toby Sexton has been told he's absolutely, what I heard they said, we were like, oh, if we sign Ben Hunt, we're happy to like for you to look elsewhere. And he's like, okay. And they're like, oh, we haven't got Ben Hunt, but we're still happy for you to look elsewhere, bro. Like, you can, must be the shit. So rough. So yeah, I'm interested to see what'll happen with it, but I can't picture Ben Hunt in a Titans jersey. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, Sean, surely, like, we all know how this ends when a player requests a release. Like, 99.95% of the time they do end up moving clubs. Do you reckon this will be the same, or do you reckon the Dragons are going to be able to keep their marquee man?
I think he'll eventually get out. How long the Dragons hold out for, I think, is another question in itself. I don't think he's going to get the early release for this year. I think he'll be in the off season, I think. And to be honest, I'm kind of glad. I'm not a fan of this little leave my club because I want to sign for somewhere for 10 weeks to win a comp and then go somewhere else. Like, Tavita did it a couple of years ago at the Panthers, and it's just like, okay, so the best team in the comp gets another great attacking weapon to help them win a comp. Like, that's just not what the game is about. Like, it just seems so crap, to be honest.
We actually got a message from one of our fans called from Ben Thompson, who said that he backs Ben Hunt's move to leave to win a comp, and he said he would do the exact same thing. And I would say, mate, you absolutely would do the same thing. I have no doubts about that whatsoever.
Oh, my God, yeah. If Ben had the talent of Ben Hunt, we would just never see him again.
never, ever see him again whatsoever.
What do you mean? He's an NRL half. He could survive.
That's true.
Oh, my God. I could so see Ben saying that so clearly as well. Just like, not even like trying to be funny. Like. But yeah, just before we move on from Ben Hunt, like, assuming that like Sata like he'll end up somewhere in that like South Queensland. So like either the Dolphins, the Broncos, or the Titans. Can you guys all give me a quick trade that you would make with the Dragons if you're one of those teams? I'll start with you, Rutkin, because you probably thought of this the most.
Yeah, sure. Toby Sexton and Aaron Clark for Ben Hunt. And I'll throw in a prop as well. I'll throw in Isaac Liu.
Okay. Well, that's shit. So we'll move on to Sean, what do you reckon? Can you come up with something better?
If I was the Dolphins, I would throw Sean O'Sullivan and someone like maybe a Jared Wallace to bring Ben Hunt to the team to help Mente Katoa.
That is way shitter than mine. That is so much shitter.
All right, Henson. And you can pick someone beside, you can pick the Broncos if you want. Like, who would you trade from the Broncos to get Ben Hunt over the line to your club?
Jake Turpin for Appy Carousel, of course. It's just the most balanced of trades.
I would probably trade Katoni Staggs.
Oh, that's interesting. That's the best one by far so far.
That's also really interesting because Herbie Farmworth's leaving the Broncos too. So what would you do in the centers then?
I would step everyone and score. You can't catch speed, baby.
Sort of without the context of Farmworth leaving, I might make a different decision. I might say Cobbo. I might send Cobbo across to the Dragons. You know, still an Origin player. You bring across Ben Hunt. You know, if they wanted you to sharpen the pencil a bit, someone like Kobe Hetherington, I think, would also be a really strong. He'd probably start for the Dragons for one. Mm.
It's so funny because like Rutkin and Sean have tried to fleece the Dragons by just offering players that they probably wouldn't re-sign anyway. And Henson's like probably given the only one that like, you know, they would actually take, which is the exact reason why I don't think the Dragons are going to get much good for this. Because I think like the situations that Rutkin and Sean gave are probably the ones that are being offered to the Dragons right now. It's not great. It's not like the NBA where you have like mega trades. It's like, yeah, Zion Williamson for, you know.
No.
It's like the second pick in the draft, you know, it's going to be Scoot Henderson. No, it's not like that. Well, I don't know about you boys, but I found that a very thoroughly enjoying episode of The Tragics. Thanks everyone for coming on. Henson, how was your first run on with the first grade team?
Oh, felt great, mate. Look, the body's got to get used to this kind of intensity, but yeah, felt really good. Glad, grateful for my opportunity.
Mm. Sean?
I think it was a bit harder with four, having to juggle the speaking time. But again, I'm glad to be back. It's a lot of fun and I enjoy it.
I hope you're all right, Sean, having to juggle that speaking time, mate. That must have been so hard for you.
He doesn't like sharing the limelight.
He doesn't. He likes all the attention to himself.
Yeah. So how did Henson do, Rutkin?
He did all right. As a part-time Broncos, part-time Raiders, part-time Dolphins supporter, I think he's a good egg all in all. But I want him out of my DMs talking about fantasy trades because that man is a used car salesman.
Yeah. And with that, I think I would just say before we leave, gentlemen, just keep the fantasy talk above board. No dirty snipes to each other. It's gone a little bit toxic over the last few days. I wouldn't know because I don't read the chat anymore because my season's over, but I've heard apparently. So, but besides that, thanks, boys.
Up the Titans.
Thanks, Declan.
Go the Tigers.